Good morning. Everyone doing all right this morning? Enjoying the cool weather? I'm not. It's too cold for me. But I'm glad to be back. It's been 2 years since you've seen me. And they asked if I could put a picture up. And so that's our family over in Senegal. As Tom introduced, we've been in Senegal for 6 years, 9 years overseas so far. And if you want to add up all the years that I grew up overseas, it's pretty much my lifespan. But it's good to be back. Like I said, 2 years ago, 2 years is a long time. And but let me quickly just kind of unfold exactly what we do, and then before I get into my message this morning. We've been there, like I said, 6 years. We're living in Dakar, the capital. And the two main things that we're involved in now, besides all the other little things that we're all involved in, is one, I oversee the international church. There's an international church called International Christian Fellowship. And about 2 years ago, the pastor had to come back, or he took a post, took a job opportunity here in the States, and he asked me to oversee it. I don't actually preach every Sunday, but I oversee the whole service, everything that pretty much takes place. And so it's been nice the last 2 weeks for me to be able to enjoy a service instead of organizing it all and making it all happen. And the other thing that we've got going on is that I've got a project in the north close to the Stevens family that you guys, they come from here, from what I understand. And so we're good friends with them. But my project, it's a farming project slash microloan project with some men and some women in the village, which is really my heart. I love working with poor people. And I've been working there for several years with them. So those are some of the things, just the two main things that we're involved in. And we do that with our family of four kids, and they're a handful. Unfortunately, I was only able to bring two of my sons. The two oldest have come. The other two and my wife were actually over at Steichleather's house as we were driving up. The third one had some stomach issues in the car yesterday, and so was unable to make it today. Before I share from my heart and from the Word, let me pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share what you're doing in Senegal and sharing what you're doing in my heart. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be good and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to take you all on a missionary journey. A little bit of my own, but also a much older one. And so I ask you to turn to Acts 16, and we're going to look at mainly the first 10 verses, but mainly the last 6 through 10. But we're going to start with the first 5. I'll give you some time to go there. And as you're turning, I just want to thank you as a congregation of supporting and just taking on our oldest son as your missionary kid. I grew up as a missionary kid, and I had, I'm from Holland originally, not from America, and there was a church in America that took me on as their MK, and it was really neat. And they prayed for me, they sent me Christmas packages and stuff, and you guys do the same. And so Michael just loves hearing from you guys. And it's great to come back here. And he remembers. He's starting to remember things more and more as we're coming back. And he remembers this church. And this will be kind of his church as he grows up in Senegal. So thank you. We really appreciate that, especially the prayer part. And I'll be talking about that a little bit later. Acts 16. And I got to this passage as I was reading. I was reading in the book of Philippi. And it's and one passage kind of took me back and back and back to this chapter, Acts 16. And Paul and Silas, they've just kind of split ways with Barnabas and Mark, and they've been there's the Council of Jerusalem. And so Paul and Silas are going off, and they go to Derbe and Lystra, and they meet up with Timothy. And Timothy joins their group. And they've heard good words of Timothy, and so he joins them. And then I want to focus on the last verse 4 and 5. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in Numbers. So many times when I read scripture, I'm reading scripture and then I see, oh yeah, I've read that. And then when do I get to a point where God is speaking to me? What passage is he speaking to me? And it's a lot of times I miss out on a lot of verses that have something specific to say to me. And as I was reading this, I said, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. That's amazing. When I look at Senegal, we haven't experienced that yet. You've probably heard from Stevens. There's only a couple of hundred believers amongst the Wolof people. Well, Wolof people of about 5-6 million. A couple hundred. But I have hope. I have hope that someday I can go and say, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. That's my hope for Senegal. And I'm sure it's going to happen. And we're going to work at it. We're going to be working and speaking truth. We're going to be sharing and showing and speaking truth into people's lives. But I look forward to the day where I can come back here and say, remember that day when I shared that someday this is going to happen? I'm looking forward to that day. And I encourage you to join us in prayer for that. So that we, as a group, as a family, we can say, we prayed this and God answered prayer. Paul and Silas are traveling. But the success in ministry is not easy. In 2 Corinthians 11, I don't know if you remember this, the passage where there's talks about the super apostles and all this. And Paul says, you know what, let me boast. And he says, I'm talking like a fool. And he starts boasting about all the different things that he had to go through as part of his ministry. And ministry isn't always easy. When you look at Paul's ministry, look at all the things that the Lord used him and the things that he accomplished. Flogging, beating, prison, you name it. He's been through it all. But when you look at Paul's heart, he says, it's all worth it. Because the number one thing for me is to know Christ. And so you look at Paul's life, you say, it's difficult, but it was all worth it. Ministry in Senegal is not always easy, either, is not easy as well. It's full of difficulties and challenges. And so I resonate with this situation where Paul goes and he's sharing his love and sharing Christ, and he sees fruit, but it's not easy. Let's look at verse 6. This is my heart right here. This is where we're going. Paul and his companions were traveling through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. A set of verses that I've read, and to be honest, I never understood them. Why would God, why would the Holy Spirit tell Paul and Silas not to go somewhere? Why would he do that? There were thousands of people that didn't know Jesus Christ. But why? Why would the Holy Spirit say, not, don't go there? It's something that I've never understood, but as I looked at it, I realized that these group of men were so in tune with the Holy Spirit that they knew when God said no. They understood when God said no. And that said something to me. Because there's two things about me. One, I hate hearing no. How many of you guys like hearing no? You like hearing no when you've got a great idea? When I have a good idea, or my ideas, what I think are good ideas, I share my wife. I go, Gina, I've got a great idea. And she says, no, that's a terrible idea. Or when I've got my colleagues, Dutch people are generally very direct. And so we're meeting as a group, and one of the Dutch guys, he's on my leadership team of the church, and we'll be like, yeah, let's go for do this as a church. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what? The other thing is I often don't ask God before I start something. Generally, and I think a lot of us do this, is we start on something and we say, God, come bless me in this. Right? I'm going to the village, I'm driving to the village, and God bless me as I go to the... Did I even ask God if I needed to go to the village? A lot of times, we start something, and then we ask God. In the city of Dakar, there's a fair amount of expats, foreigners living there. And on a regular daily basis, I have people knocking on my door. And this one time, there was an older man. He knocked on my door, and I opened it, and he was in tears. He was devastated. He was just distraught. And he shares with me that his son has just passed away with a very contagious disease. I can't remember what the disease was, but it was a very contagious disease. And he says, "Man, I need to bury my son. And it's going to cost me about $25 to bury my son." He says, "Can I borrow $25? On Monday, I will come back, and I'll pay you it all back. And here's my wife's ID card." They have ID cards in Senegal. And he says, here's my wife's ID card, so that I'll come back and pay it. I'll come back and reimburse you." I said, yeah, let me help you out, man. Gave him $25. Come Monday, nowhere to be seen. And we found out more and more, there's these kind of scams going on. But just a simple example of me not even taking the time and saying, God, is this something that you want me to invest in? Is this something that I should give to? Simple example. But what if I had taken time and said, God, should I do it or not? And God may have said, no, don't even give him the money. Maybe you should go with him and see the situation. Have an opportunity to speak truth into that life. But so many times, I just go, well, yeah, that's a good thing to do. I'll help someone out. But I don't take the time to think about it and to ask God what he wants. Another situation was a couple of years ago. In the village, I go to the village and I spend time with a bunch of farmers. And the goal is to help them increase their income so that they earn more than they spend. So that they can provide for their family, clothing, medical needs, food, etc. And at the same time, I have opportunities, great opportunities to speak truth in their lives. As I'm walking through the fields, the news came that the director of the school, the elementary school, wanted to meet with me. And so I said, okay, that's fine. And we met with the director and with a couple of other people, and they show me the school. It's a little elementary school just outside the village. And one of the buildings was falling in, caving in, and the floor was sinking, and they wanted to put a wall around the school to protect it. And I said, well, what do you want from me? And they kind of gave me a piece of paper, and they said, we want you to help me. A couple $1,000. I was like, I don't even have that. But I said, you know what? Let me take some time and think about it. So I was able to take those papers home and just think about it, pray, and ask God, you know, what is it that you want me to do? And I just sense God saying, no, don't even go with the money yet. Instead, offer to help them start a garden. Have them hire a guy in, work the field, split the profit 50-50. The worker gets 50%, the school gets the other 50%. They can use that money to fix their buildings, to start on a wall. Well, guess what? They didn't like that idea because it involved a lot more work than they wanted. But an example of me saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? See, the thing is this, and I think a lot of times we miss out on the fact that we have God himself living inside of us. We get so busy with our day-to-day things, in our busy schedules, in our work, in our ministry, and that is all good. But when you think about it, if you just take a couple of minutes and just think about the fact that you have the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of you. And last night I was reading John 14, 15, 16, and Jesus is talking about the Spirit that he's going to be sending when he leaves. And what are the things that he does? He guides us. He speaks truth. He convicts. He empowers. He produces fruit in our lives. He gives us gifts. It just goes on and on. And we have this source, God Himself, wanting to use us, work in us, but we're so busy oftentimes that we don't tap into that. We don't say, God, I need you to work in and through me. So this morning, the first question I have for you is this. Are you so in tune with the Holy Spirit, like we see Paul and Silas in the group? Are you so in tune with the Holy Spirit? And am I so in tune with the Holy Spirit that I hear the no? So many times we're looking for the yes from God, but are we hearing the no's? Secondary question goes along with that. What are you planning on doing next? Or what are you doing now? What do you have in mind next? Is this what God wants you to do? Maybe you've been working in the same place for a long time. Ask God, is this where He wants you to stay? Or maybe you're planning on moving somewhere, or you have ideas of doing things. Are you ready to hear a no? And obey accordingly? Even though it may bring you success, may make you look good, or maybe something that you really want to do. But are you willing to hear the no? So that's kind of the negative side of this morning. Let's look on. Verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul has a vision. And I love it goes, we got ready at once. They were pumped. God was sending them to go somewhere. God had a mission for them. And He said, yes, we're going. God said no here, but He said, go there. And that's the next thing. Paul and Silas were so in tune with the Holy Spirit that when God said go or yes, they didn't hesitate. They went for it. And I love that. I love the way that Paul just reacts. And so this morning for us as well is are we so in tune with the Holy Spirit that we hear the yes, or we hear the go, and we're willing to drop everything to make that happen? When we read God's word, God says, "I have plans for you." Do we believe that? And are we willing to ask God what those plans are? Even if it shakes up our whole lives, if it shakes up our job, shakes up everything in our lives, are we willing to say, yes, God said go, I'm going to go? As a church, for the last 2 years, we've been looking for a pastor. And so we've had about a rotation of about six people speaking. And the leadership team, the first year, we were just kind of like, okay, we're going to keep this ship running, waiting for this pastor to show up, doing some interviews here and there. And after about a year, I said, we're just kind of treading water. We're not going anywhere. And I just really felt God saying, you know what? This is not what it's supposed to be for the international church. The international church is interesting as well as it's a church that's continuously changing. And so right when I left, we had about 170, 175 people coming, and we had about 50, 60 kids under the age of 10. My wife oversees the kids program, great program. It's the strength of our church. But because everybody keeps going and coming, like last summer, we had 80 people. And a normal pastor, that would drive them crazy. How do you have a church that from 1 week to the next, you don't even know who's coming, who's going to be showing up? There's the core that's there. But how do you keep doing that? And so we as a leadership team, we said, okay, I shared with my leadership. I said, we can't just sit here and just do nothing. We can't just have Sunday services. There's got to be more. And so for this last year, we've been praying. We've been asking God, what is it that you want us to be involved in? What other areas? And there's been multiple areas that that God has been pushing us. But one of them I want to share this morning is prayer. I don't know, I'm not familiar with your church here, but prayer is key. It's key to everything, I believe. And so we as a church, we said, how are we going to do this? And one of the things we started to encourage was just prayer after the service. We took time, everybody would leave, and we took time to pray for people. Pray for healing, physical healing, emotional, spiritual. Praying for situations, jobs, whatever it was. And we just said, we need to gather around as a body of Christ, and we need to start praying. Well, this whole praying thing, it just started growing in the church. And so we've had multiple people just having testimonies of what God is doing. One lady, she's a medical doctor, she's been inviting some of her friends to go and pray in the capital city. And so she'll go around and meet people on the streets and ask if they need prayer. And on multiple occasions, they've seen actual physical healing take place and actual opportunities also to speak truth in their lives. Now, remember, this is a medical doctor, so not... Some people are like, this whole prayer thing and physical healing, but an actual doctor that has seen that. A friend of mine who's also on my leadership team, he's a doctor and he treats his patients in his own clinic. And he's been really on fire for just asking the Spirit to speak to him. Speak to him what it is that he needs to say to his patients. And as he was treating this one patient, he said, God just spoke to me, and in a sense, I started feeling a pain on my own knee. He was treating the patient for something else, and he just felt like God was saying, you know what? Ask him about the knee. So he stopped treating, and he said, look, do you have pain in your knee? And the patient's like, yeah. How'd you know? He says, I just feel that God is telling me that I need to pray for you. An opportunity to pray for somebody's physical healing. And so the whole idea of prayer is starting to take place, and it's one of those things where we're saying, God is telling us to go, and we're going to go. And we don't know where that's going to lead. Only God knows that. And so this morning, I just want to continue asking this question is, are you so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you hear the yes? Do you hear the go? The problem is remember, Paul's ministry was full of difficulties and difficult situations. When I go to the village every time, there's always potential for persecution of some kind. Growing up in Burkina and now working in Senegal, as I speak to the people, there's a lot of this spiritual battle going on. A lot of times here in the West, we don't think about it much. But they're consumed by the spiritual battle. When someone gets ahead in life, they'll go over to some spiritual leader and throw a curse on that person. These type of things happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if that has been if people have actually tried that on me. I have not been physically beaten. I have not experienced any of those things. But the question is am I willing to suffer for them? The Senegalese, especially the world of people, are very, very resistant to the gospel. But we have an opportunity, and you have an opportunity, to join us in that through prayer, mainly through prayer, that God will help us to break up some of that soil, to be able to plant those seeds, water it, and let God produce fruit there. It's not always easy, but it's well worth the cost. As I conclude, I've been on a little bit of a missionary journey this morning, and I love the way Paul and Silas just are listening, are in tune, constantly asking God, what is it that you want me to do? So I want to leave you with these two questions. Are you so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you hear the no? And are you so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you hear the go or the yes? Those are my questions and challenges for you, and it's challenges for myself as well. Let me pray. God, I thank you. I thank you, first of all, for your word. You love us so, so much. And I think we don't even realize it. realize how much you love us. And you take such good care of us. And I thank you for protecting us from the enemy. But I also thank you for the difficult times, the trials, the persecution that comes along with serving you. It gives us opportunities to draw closer to you. And God, I thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit, that as we put our faith in you and you restore that relationship with us, I thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit as he guides us and leads us and shows us what it is that we need to do. I pray that each one of us will realize that we need you. We can't do this on our own. And I pray this today that as we leave, as we continue to think about this, I pray that you will speak to us and show us. And if there's any changes in our lives that need to take place, I pray that you will make those absolutely clear. God, I thank you for loving us. And I pray that you will help us to love those around us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.